I'm speaking today with Josh Easton of the Indianapolis area YMCA about churches in YMCAs. Josh, thanks for being with me today.
Thanks for having me.
Your full title is?
Director of Christian Mission for the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis.
How did your association decide to have a church in every branch? I assume it's every branch. And who in leadership made that decision?
It started with our CEO, Eric Ellsworth, about 8.5 years ago. He decided that he wanted to have a pastor on staff inside of his YMCA. Someone would really do two things. One, would wake up every day and think about furthering the Christian mission of the YMCA. We figure we have membership directors because membership's important, aquatics directors because aquatics is important. So if this was important, we would have someone who would wake up every day and was focused on moving this needle forward. The other thing that he wanted this person to do was love, serve, and care for the staff. We've got 3,000 staff members who serve the community, and he wanted someone who would care for the people who are caring for the community. So it was Eric's vision back in 2013 to hire this person, which I ended up filling the role. And then one of our big goals was to plant a life-giving, mission-minded, biblically-based church in each one of our centers. Today, we are at 8 churches planted inside the YMCA of Greater Indianapolis in our facilities. And by God's grace, next year, we'll have a church in every Y.
When Eric left and retired, our chief operating officer, Greg Hyland, served in the interim CEO position role, went through the process, and he was named CEO last month.
Beyond the leadership that Eric initially brought, the vision for doing this, as well as the leadership that you have, I know there's a ton of leadership within any given association. Can you talk a little bit about the buy-in or at least the awareness that other leaders have had and how that's all played out in growing churches and wise?
Yeah, sure. So there was board support for this position before it was created. And, you know, just to be honest, and from what Eric told me, is that, you know, there were some people on the board who were a little skeptical, didn't know how a position like mine would work out. And it's because of the word Christian. You know, there's so much baggage attached to that word, and people have so many different perspectives of what a Christian is, a Christian does, what a Christian says. And I basically had to just come in and say, hey, we're not going to be screaming at people in megaphones and holding up nasty signs, and we're just going to be intentional with how we love, serve, and care for people, how we reflect Christ in our community. I mean, the word Christian is in our mission statement, so we have to at least talk about it and or figure out how we do that well. I would say the second layer of leadership would be each YMCA center has an executive director. Earning credibility and trust with each one of those executive directors that by me putting a church in there, I'm not going to be putting someone in there who's going to cause them problems or issues. I'm going to be putting someone in there who understands what we're doing, how we're trying to do it, and instead of causing problems and issues, will be an actual blessing to the center and the community through that partnership. So earning the credibility and trust of each center executive, and then, of course, making sure we find the right church to partner with each individual YMCA.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Outline the basic expectations for each of the parties and the agreements that are made.
A lot of our Ys do not open till 11 a.m., and a couple of our Ys don't even open on Sunday. So the thought was we've got space, meaning a gymnasium and kids' area, and teen rooms and community rooms that churches could use for church services and purposes. So from the YMCA end, we're providing space. Some Ys provide a front desk person. Our members will see that there's cars in the parking lot on a Sunday morning and want to come in and work out. Well, you got to let them know that the building's being used and rented by a church when the Y opens. So we're not putting that burden on the church side. On the Y side as well, there's a lease that goes back and forth that helps pay the light bill, plow the parking lot, you know, things like that. So that lease is definitely a blessing to the Y. And the church would, quite frankly, be paying a lease somewhere else as well. Whether it was a strip mall or a middle school or something like that.
Do you see those leases being on par with what a church would expect to pay for a lease?
For the most part, I would see it less than what they would typically pay out in the community. Again, we're not looking for a tenant-landlord relationship, although that will be a component of it. You know, we're looking for a partner who will do an excellent service on Sunday, but also be present and part of the YMCA culture and running programs and volunteering during the week. So that's, I think, where we're a little bit different. If they run a movie theater, they can't come back on Wednesday and do Bible study at the movie theater. Or they can't play a chaplain in the middle school if they're meeting in the middle school. And those are things that we want to do inside the YMCA. So again, we're not looking for a tenant-landlord relationship, although that's an aspect of it. We're looking for a full-fledged partner together in ministry.
So, and what are some of the things that you're telling these churches, you know, hey, if you want to do this, this is what we're looking for out of you, beyond just money?
Yeah, so a couple things. We have a volunteer chaplaincy program where we take local pastors, even lay leaders, and put them on volunteer staff inside the Y and help us meet the spiritual needs of the members, staff, and volunteers. So our churches are a natural recruiting mechanism to fill some of those chaplaincy roles. We also have Christian mission committees that are focused on Christian content inside the YMCA and programming. It's a natural funnel, again, for them to have their outreach committee, maybe someone or a person or two from that committee sit on our committee so we could do things together. We've got churches who have sent board members from their church to sit on our advisory boards inside the YMCA. And again, just even a volunteer pool. You know, if we're doing family night and we need volunteers, the churches are stepping up saying, hey, we'll help with family night and cook the hamburgers and make the popcorn and serve the lemonade and, you know, different things like that. Just welcome, greet, you know, just volunteer in the community. Again, it puts them around people in the community who may or may not ever go through the doors of their church, but they can interact and touch them.
What are the challenges of doing this the way that it's envisioned? And I ask that because beyond the lease agreement type of model, you know, how do you really make this more of an intentional collaborative ministry? I've seen examples where church members are not Y members, or even on occasion doing a guest pastor of Y. And similarly, these churches are often hard-pressed to have success in doing ministry with Y members. It seems almost as if the two memberships aren't very well integrated, despite the fact that they share the same space.
You know, I'm giving you a lot of the great stuff. There's definitely challenges and hurdles to it, like the ones you just mentioned. How do we, you know, fully integrate? And a lot of it is, you know, this is something that's fairly new. You know, there's not a book written on how to do this. You know, we're trying to figure it out. One of the main pieces of text in the scriptures that I use is John chapter 4, the woman at the well, when we're talking about opportunities like this. Jesus strategically positioned himself at the well of the community. The text says specifically that Jesus sat down by the well. And he positioned himself at a place in the community where people would come. And that's what we're really trying to do, is not force anything, but be intentional about setting up mechanisms to help people and or connect people spiritually to Christ if that is something that they're looking for. So it's not, you know, we don't have all the bugs and the kinks worked out, but we're definitely just trying to communicate our heart and our willingness to partner together with the local church. Now, I will tell you, there are many different perspectives on how to do church. So some of this kind of shatters some of those paradigms, you know, not having a building and, you know, setting up and tearing down and, you know, trying to coexist in someone's space that you don't own the space and things like that. So we're a couple things. One, we've got to work with the Y staff to let them know this isn't an us and them, this is a we, you know, this is something we're doing together. And on the church side, we've got to make sure that we're finding, you know, the right church partner where the pastor really kind of understands the community impact that we're trying to go for, and someone who will labor in that field with us. So definitely not easy. Definitely don't have all the bugs and the kinks worked out, but it's something worthwhile that we're willing to stay in there and try and figure it out together.
Any idea at all as to how many associations in the United States have a model where they have a church in one of their their branches or more?
You know, I think there are a lot of wives that partner with churches, or they have a child care in their church, and, you know, that would be one number. But a number where they would have, similar to what I'm describing, a full-fledged partnership, meeting in the facility, you know, chaplaincy program and Christian Mission Committee and board members, my guess it would probably be in the 35 to 40 range. I know
that many associations?
Yep. Yeah.
That's quite a few.
Yeah. You know, I know, like, Orlando, you know, at one time had 11 churches in their Y pre-COVID. They're probably, I think it's 7 or 8 now. Charlotte, the same. I know there's some churches meeting up in the Tacoma, Washington area. San Antonio, Texas, Nashville. So locations like that. But probably the main one that really carried this vision that even Indy picked up on from was Dr. David Newman. He pastors Antioch Church at the Countryside in Lebanon, Ohio. One time it was the largest YMCA in the country, square footage-wise. And he really had this, you know, the short story that I like to tell is, you know, he planted a church, I think, with 30 people inside of a Y. And he was in the middle of doing his doctoral work, and he did it on the Christian Mission of the Y and working together with the local church. And one of the things during his research that he discovered is that churches and Ys used to work together hand in hand 50, 60, 70 years ago, but not so much today. He thought there are different ways to plant a church. He said, what if we planted a church in the Y? You know, one of the trends is that people will plant like a place like a Y, grow to 100 people, then go out in the community and get a building with those 100 people, and then hope people similar to people at the Y would come to that church. He said, what if we plant a church in the Y with the intent of never leaving? Like, what if our main thing was to plant in a Y, stay in the Y, serve in the Y, and help the Y reach people? And that's what they've done now. I think today they run over 700 people. The Y did a capital campaign and basically built a sanctuary into the Y for them because they're such a valued partner.
What association is that, by the way?
It's a standalone. Well, it's the Countryside YMCA in Lebanon, Ohio.
Okay, so it's a single one as compared to part of an association.
Yeah, but now they're branching out now, too. They've planted a YMCA in Landon, Ohio, and or a church in Landon, Ohio, and the YMCA there, which I think is 20 minutes away. There's another one in Mainville. It's an actual church building that they either rent or purchase for child care. So they have another Y church. So that Y church is now multiplying. They've grown to two other ones. And then I believe they've planted 23 churches in the Salem, India area through the India Gospel League in a partnership with them. They operate as YMCAs during the week and churches on the weekend. So they've got a local, national, global vision. And that's kind of what, you know, a lot of Ys are looking to for leadership. One other Y that I forgot to tell you, the YMCA of the North, which is the Twin Cities, they've got a leader up there, Bjorn Dixon, and an amazing church called Y Church, W-H-Y. And they're trying to plant churches in the Minneapolis-St. Paul area.
Interesting. Huh. Yeah, and I think what's interesting is the cities where you've cited where this model is going on, while some are in the Bible Belt, they're certainly all pretty significant cities that would have a broad cross-section of people in them, certainly not, you know, just saturated Christian market by any means.
Mm-hmm. Right. This network, you know, has people from, you know, Portland and Tacoma, which if you know much about the country, those are some of the most spiritual challenging places in the country, all the way over to upstate New York and up to the Twin Cities, you know, and down to Orlando. So we're, you know, there are Ys that are having positions like this and focused on church partnerships literally all across the country.
Well, listen, I appreciate your time today. We'd like to be able to support not only Ys but churches to grow the vision of what this can look like. And quite honestly, I think there's a lot of pioneering to be done to create examples, perhaps a model, but certainly to spur on enthusiasm, vision, and hope for what can happen
And Brad, you know, I do think that this, I think we're on the front end of a trend here. You know, a lot of churches are becoming less excited about spending elder meeting time on refinancing mortgages and putting roofs on buildings and, you know, things like that. When, you know, you meet at a Y, of course, they're set up and teared out and has a different feel. And I can send you some pictures of what that looks like. But you don't have to think about an electric bill. And you don't have to think about plowing the parking lot. And you don't have to think about a mortgage. And, you know, you don't have to think about changing light bulbs. We're doing all those things. And I think part of it is really appetizing to some of these church planners that they don't have to think like that. They can think mission and
yeah,
people. And so I honestly, in my heart of hearts, think we're on the front end of something that could have significant impact for the local church and for the kingdom.